If you would turn in your Bibles to Mark 10. Mark 10, starting with verse 13. Mark 10, 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we say again, you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our trust. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. Lord, help us to depend on you, not on the things that we gather around us, not on other people. Help us not to be distracted by our situations, but focus on you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. A little review. In Mark 8, after Jesus had first told his disciples that he would die, be killed, and raised in 3 days, in verse 34 of chapter 8, he told the crowd and the disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In the first verse of chapter 9, Jesus said to them, still the crowd and the disciples, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." 6 days later, 3 disciples saw Jesus transfigured, displaying his full glory as the Son of God. I didn't just say that was the total fulfillment of what Jesus said, but it's a fulfillment that I can understand. Coming down from the mountain, Jesus taught his disciples a lesson about faith after they had failed to make a demon leave a child alone. He told them again that he would be killed and raised after 3 days. And then he talked to them about being the greatest. He used a child to demonstrate his point. Following Jesus takes faith. It takes obedience. It takes sacrifice. It takes humility. Here in chapter 10, Jesus teaches these same lessons with a finer point. There are several truths that Jesus teaches and multiple applications, but I want to focus on one main point. What must I do to be saved? We don't know, we can't know, if verse 13 happened at the same time as the previous passage about divorce. I think it's a different time, but I can't prove that. We don't know where they were. We don't know how many people were around, what Jesus was doing. Are they still in the house of verse 10? Or are they outside? Are they in a village or out in the countryside? But they, whoever they are, start bringing children to him that he might touch them. And they run into some mean disciples who block their way. Their master had more important things to do than touch babies and little children. There are some important lessons here about the importance of ministering to small children and to their parents. But Jesus' main point is, okay, one free one. It's a tragedy to make children feel that they are in the way at home and at church. It's a tragedy to make children feel that they are in the way at home and at church. How easy it is to neglect, to push them aside. There are important things happening right now. Talk to me later. Verse 16 says, "And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them." Jesus loves them, and so should we. One more quick free lesson, and then we'll get back on track. For the adults who get jealous of the kids' slides, here's a slide for you. The advice is for everyone, not just the jealous ones. Some investment advice for adults, because you know I don't like giving out my opinions. First investment advice is recycle. Recycle slides, recycle anything you've got. Invest in the future. Lead a child to Christ. There are no millstones in this investment plan. There are a lot of times where you have to put aside what you were wanting to do to reach a child. Okay, back to Jesus' main point for his disciples was to teach them about his kingdom, namely about how do you enter it? How does a person get saved? He says, receive the kingdom of God like a child to enter the kingdom. To get saved. Next slide, please. I've read a bunch of commentaries about this verse, and I disagree with most of them. As we heard at 9, if you've got a new idea that no one else has ever come up with, you probably need to go back to study the scripture more because you're probably wrong. What does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child, to believe like a child? Some of the characteristics that I have seen attributed to children must have been written by someone who never had children. I have three kids. They don't really count as children anymore. I've worked in the nursery for nearly 30 years with many of your children. Sometimes we take liberties with our doctrine when it comes to babies. We tell little white lies. For example, we agree with grandmothers that their grandbaby is the most beautiful baby ever. When we know that isn't true, because ours were. And we know that wasn't even true because we were. Notice there aren't any photographic evidence. We may even call them little angels. I'm sorry, your precious little cherub is not an angel. She's a sinner. And the sooner you recognize that, and the sooner that she understands that, the better. Children are not selfless. Children are not without guile. Children are not trusting without doubting. They are not even obedient. They do not lack attachment to possessions. They can say, mine, 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 with the best of us. So what characteristic is true of all babies and little children? They are helpless, totally dependent. So a question for kids. It's really a statement. Childlike faith is helpless dependence on God. What does that mean? What does it mean to receive the kingdom with helpless dependence? To borrow Jesus' words from the next encounter with the rich young ruler, with man it is impossible, but not with God. We recognize that we have sinned. We have missed the mark. We have fallen short of God's standard. We understand the consequence of that sin is eternal death. And there is nothing that we can do about it on our own. Let me say that again. Helpless dependence is recognizing that there is nothing that we can do about it on our own. We believe that Jesus paid the penalty of our sin when he died on the cross, and we ask him to forgive us. We follow him to be with him forever. We don't pretend that we haven't done anything bad against God or against other people. We don't fool ourselves into thinking that we are good, that our good outweighs our bad. And this one is especially for the adults. We must not forget how helplessly dependent on God we still are. Looking for ways on our own would be high places and idolatry, but that's for a different lesson. Another question for kids. This isn't really a question, it's an assignment. Ask your parents to tell you how they got saved. Do that after the service, okay? Make sure that they understand about being helplessly dependent on God. This morning, John emphasized grammar and identifying who they is or who he is or I is in a sentence. When I just said make sure they understand about being helplessly dependent on God, sure, parents, you need to help your kids understand that, but I was addressing that to the kids. As your parents tell you how they got saved, kids, make sure your parents understand helplessly dependent on God. If your parent tells you that they got saved by being good, could you call the pastor? Being helplessly dependent on God means you can't enter the kingdom by your earnings. You can't get saved by buying your way. You can't get saved by obeying the rules. Verse 17 says, as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus didn't answer the question directly. He challenged the young man about his definition of good. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Does this young man believe that Jesus is God? Is that why he called him good? Or does the young man believe that he is perfect? Like God? Is that what he thinks when he says that he has kept the law? So he calls Jesus good. He basically says that he himself is good. What does good mean? Pastor John reminded us last week that God's standard of holiness is higher than the law of Moses. Thou shalt not murder is easy for most of us, dare I say all of us? But don't be angry with your brother is a little more difficult. Don't commit adultery is easier than don't lust. We can make a list of do's and don'ts. We can check them twice, but we can't match God's holy standard. We better practice helpless dependent on God for both of these issues. Hatred, lust, every other sin. With man it is impossible, but not with God. Jesus knows the young man's heart. The young man wants eternal life, but he loves his stuff. Jesus tells him to sell all his stuff, give it to the poor, and follow him. So you can't earn your salvation by obeying the rules, because you can't obey them. You can't buy your way into the kingdom. You can't buy your salvation. Being rich and successful won't get you into the kingdom. Being important won't get you into the kingdom. In Jesus' time, wealth and success were viewed as signs of God's favor. To some degree, we still look at it that way. I mean, we know that there are awful people who are rich and famous. So we don't get confused and think, well, God is favoring them. That's why they're rich. We understand that. We get that. But if our church is growing and our kids are behaving, we may think we're pleasing him. Or if we're struggling, we're facing difficulties, hardship, we may think, oh, I've displeased God. Just like good deeds aren't impressive to God, what does he say they're like? Filthy rags. Your wealth and status aren't impressive either. Jesus asks us, like he asked the young man, where's your heart? What's more important to you than Jesus? As the young man walked away with his head slumped, disappointed that Jesus hadn't congratulated him for his good deeds and his wonderful accomplishments and welcomed him into the kingdom, Jesus looks at his disciples. He says to them, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed. Remember, they've already been busted a couple of times talking about their position in the kingdom. Who will be first? Who will be on the left hand or the right hand? This isn't the first time they've thought about rewards and what they'll receive when Jesus sets up his kingdom and becomes the king. Another question for the kids. Can a camel fit through the eye of a needle? Help them out. No! It would have to be a really big needle or a really small camel. But Jesus says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now the disciples aren't just amazed, they are exceedingly astonished. Then who can be saved? If the people who show that God has favored them, the rich and successful, can't be saved, who can? I mean, surely God wouldn't save the sick, the poor, the beggars, the blind, the deaf, the normal people, the disciples, us, if he wouldn't save the wealthy. If they can't be saved, how can we? With man, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. We need to have faith like a child, helpless dependence on God. Now, Peter's processing all of this. Jesus told the rich young man to give up everything and follow him. The disciples had given up everything and followed Jesus. And he starts to state that to Jesus. Jesus knows where he's going with this, and Jesus cuts him off. Everyone who gives up stuff, family, relationships, property, for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel, will be rewarded. Some will be rewarded in this life. Some will be persecuted and martyred. all will be rewarded by Jesus for eternity. Jesus says, Peter, the rest of you disciples, John, all the Johns at Calvary, the rest of you at Calvary, Jesus says, don't focus on the rewards. Don't focus on your position in this life. Don't even focus on the rewards and position in eternity. Put your focus on Jesus. Helpless dependence, like a child. Come to him. Follow him. Trust him that he wants what's very best for each one of us. It's hard to depend on others. We try so hard to be dependable. We depend on ourselves. We count on what we can do. We believe that we need to depend on him. We need to learn to practice it. Not just when things are hard. Not just when things are, oh, well, this is bigger than me. Everything is bigger than me. A baby can't do anything for itself. We need to recognize that we can't either.